Psalm 31. We're looking at the first five verses again. Psalm 31 from verse 1. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defence to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Last time we looked at verse 1 and part of verse 5. Verse 1 was about the righteousness of God that was given to us as believers in the Lord Jesus. Verse 5 is one of the cries from the cross that the Lord Jesus uttered in his hour of pain and suffering. Going to look at verse 2 in particular this morning, and we see there that we have the ear of God, and also we have confidence in God. David writes, bow down your ear to me. Now we know that God does not bow down to anyone and everyone and everything bow down to him. And we have the instance in 1 Samuel chapter 5 when the Ark of the Covenant was on the move and it had been captured and placed in the temple of a so-called God. And this is what happened. And when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon, that's the god in question, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. The head of Dagon and both the palms of its hands were broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left of it. God bows to no one. Everything and everyone bows down to him. But here we have David using a phrase where God bows down his ear to him. That is his request. What does that mean? There is something that Christian theologians call the condescension of God. Now, when we use that phrase, when we say someone is being condescending towards us, it's not flattery. It's not something that's particularly nice when we feel that we're being condescended to. But in actual fact, theologically, this is the grace of God, that he lowers his ear to his creation, to the people that he created. He listens to them. The one who gave them mouths to speak listens to what they have to say. Now, people often utter a lot of nonsense. But when we come to him and we pray, he listens to us. He takes cognizance of what we say. And the word that's used there for ear, it's a word that is used to illustrate revelation, to reveal something, to inform the Lord of what we think and feel. And he's willing to listen to that. Almighty God will listen to you and I when we come in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He listens to you and I. He knows all of our thoughts, but in particular, he wants to hear us speak to him in prayer. And so often, I can confess I have failed miserably to lay hold of this most precious gift that God has given to us. God bows down his ears to us. And then we have two metaphors that is used to illustrate what God is like. The first one is, be my rock of refuge. He is a rock of refuge. And when we think of that, we can think of something that is solid, that is immovable. And that is our God. He is immovable. We cannot shake him. We cannot be rid of him. He is eternal. We can think of something that is unchanging, something that is reliable. Now, I just want you to think for a moment that metaphors about God are not perfect. He is perfect, but metaphors that are used about him are not, because we know that rocks can be broken down. We know that rocks can erode. But our God is unchanging. And these are images of him. And they're imperfect, but he is perfect. We also have illustrations of our Lord Jesus Christ being a rock. Christ is the spiritual rock. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. This is the fathers of of Israel going through the desert after the Exodus. They were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Christ is that spiritual rock where that water flowed for the nourishment of his people. When he died upon that cross, blood flowed, yes, but also water flowed from his pierced side. And we find through the writings of Paul that he is also the cornerstone. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And Isaiah has something to say about that cornerstone as well, that it is precious. So this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. When we trust in him, he will not fail. He will not crumble. What he has done will not erode away. The second metaphor is a fortress of defense. Fortress that saves. That word save, it means to help, to deliver, to defend. Now there's an earlier use of that word deliver in this psalm, and it means God's ability to deliver, but it also means something that he prevents his people being snatched away from him. And when we come to this second use of defense, a fortress of defense, to save, it means to help, deliver, defend, to bring to a place of safety. Listen to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Our Lord is a fortress of defense to save us. Earlier this week, that's just passed, my family were in York. That's Lynn, Jonathan and I. Robert had already gone home to Glasgow. But we were in York, and York is a walled city. You can walk around part of those walls that surround that city. Chester is also another walled city. Those walls were built for defence. Remember where those two cities are? They're in the north. The Romans have built a wall hundreds and hundreds of years before Hadrian's Wall, which to stop the Scots coming down and raiding into, well, it wasn't known as England then, but raiding south. And that's what these walls were and that those cities were for. They were to defend against the Scots, and sometimes the Scots breached them. The walls of defence failed. Those walls are now incomplete. We see what's remaining of them, and we can walk along some of it. But our Lord, our rock, our fortress of defence is unshakable, unbreakable. He will never fail us. And we have the assurance from the words of our Lord Jesus Christ that no one will snatch us from his hand. That is where we are. We are in his hands. Those hands that were nailed to the cross. Those hands that bled. We are there. And no one will snatch us from those hands. How precious is our God, our rock, and the fortress of our defence. This is one of the reasons I led with the hymn, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Not one that we seem that familiar with to start with, but we all know the tune. We all know the hymn. There's also another one. A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Written by Martin Luther. Engraved upon his tomb. A mighty fortress is our God. When we trust in him, he will not fail. Even when we fail, he will not fail. He is our rock. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these things that illustrate to us your perfections. How that you are unshakable, that you cannot be moved, and that our salvation is secure in the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thought about him this morning as we've gathered around this table, these emblems which speak of his sacrifice, his death, and the blood that was shed so that we can be washed as white as snow. Our Father, we give thanks for him. We pray that you'd help us this day to continue to worship him and to proclaim his name and speak highly of him. Father, we give thanks for this time together. In his precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.